Welcome, everybody. It's Selena Maitreya, and I'm so glad that you're here. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We have hundreds of people from around the world who have signed up for today for our cash flow creation secrets, four things you must know now to move into flow. I'm so glad that you've chosen to be here with us live. I know that you have so much to do in your life. Our lives are very, very busy. And I trust that you know that my commitment has been and continues to be in my 33rd year. I can't believe this. I feel so old. My 33rd year of working with artists and specifically photographers in the last 33 years, my commitment is to help you to build a business that will thrive and a life that will be so beneficial and one that will serve you. And we live in physicality. We are energy and form, and money has been called spiritual love. It's been called many things, but that's a phrase that I particularly enjoy. And that is the topic. How do we build cash flow creation? And what? How do we create cash flow? And my guest today is Rodney Washington, who I'll be welcoming in just a few minutes, who I've had the pleasure of knowing as a peer, who started out as a photographer in our industry and has gone on to be a guide to artists. And that's what we're about today. But because we have so many people from all over the world, I think it's wonderful for those folks who are on the web to please go over to the Q&A as we begin here. Sign in, let me know who you are, let me know where you're from, and that way I can acknowledge you and we can feel and be more of a community as we spend the next hour together with our dear Rodney Washington, who's going to share with us information that's going to be invaluable. So go over to the Q&A, if you would. Put in your name. Let me know where you are, who you are. And I'm going to pop over to the phone. We have Jonathan Ha, and we have my friend Kevin Mellis. I have to tell you something so interesting. Kevin is a Facebook friend of mine from Calgary. He's a photographer in Canada. And when I saw him on Facebook, I was so excited because my maiden name, my dad's name, was Mellis, and it was actually a name that was purchased because my great-grandfather, when he emigrated from Transylvania, Hitler was slaughtering the Jews, and he bought the name Mellis, and I've never seen anybody with that name. So I contacted Kevin, and it turns out he's a photographer. So, Kevin, welcome. We're happy to have you here today. And Paul is with us. Thank you. Welcome, Paul. Lorraine is with us. Jonathan, welcome. Bruce, Bill Green, my good friend Richard Levy is with us. I'm going to pop over to the Q&A and see who's here. Scott, hi, Scott from Milwaukee, welcome. A Stewart from New York, welcome. I might be a neighbor pretty soon. Greg from Toronto, always good to have you with us, Greg. And Ira from Washington, welcome, Ira. We're always happy to see you as well. Joe from Houston, Susan is here. Brian Johnson from Toronto, welcome, Brian. Richard, you're on the web as well. Constance from Phoenix, thank you for letting us know earlier, Constance, that the sound is working. And Mary from Toronto, wonderful. We've got lots of people here. Ah, Williams checking in from Pennsylvania. Barb from Wisconsin. Michael O'Brien, welcome, Michael, from Toronto. And Nancy from Colorado. Aaron Usher from right next door in Rhode Island, wonderful to have you all here. People are still calling in. Steve from Brooklyn. Chris from San Francisco. Chris, I sent you an email today. Send it back. Hope you're well. Kim from Denver. William from Pennsylvania. Barb from Wisconsin. And, oh, we've got many, many more people. Kim. Hi, Kim from New Orleans, down from the Louisiana. And Denise from the D.C. area. Steve from Brooklyn, another possible neighbor in the future. Okay, we've got a lot of people calling in, and thank you so much. We're going to get started here. I have a few housekeeping details, and then we're going to welcome Rodney, and we're going to get right into all this great information that he has for us. I want to let you know that we don't send recordings anymore. So it's great that you're here live. We don't send recordings out because I'm creating a library. Many people had said to me before, would you please, you know, is there a way that I can get a volume of your teleseminars because there's so much information going on. I want to have my own Selena library. So we're creating that. However, your questions today, I want to mention, are going to be handled a little bit differently as well. If you're on the web, please feel free, as a question pops up, to go over to the Q&A section, the place where you just left your name and your greeting for us all. Any point you have a question, just pop it in there. I'm going to be multitasking, which used to be a talent of mine. I'm going to try to remember how to do that. And I'm going to be listening and conversing with Rodney, and I'm going to also be looking at your questions because we're going to work them into the conversation today. Rodney has a special surprise for us at the end, and I want to make sure all your questions are handled as we're going through the day, as we're going through the hour. So by all means, feel free to do that. If you're on the phone, I see a lot of people are on the phone and the web. If you're on the phone, you might want to pop over just to put your question in the web because I don't know that I'll be taking questions at the end, and we want to be able to get those answered as well for you. A couple of other things. People have said to me in the past that they wished I would let them know more about where I'm going to be. I don't use my teleseminars to promote myself. I really am pretty devoted to getting the information to you, but I will meet that request. I'm going to be in New York live in June for APA. I'm bringing Sarah down with me. For those folks that were on our last teleseminar on procrastination, I know what to do, but I'm not doing it. We had such an amazing response to that. We had over 600 people on the call, and people just loved it. So I've decided to do a live presentation with Sarah, and APA in New York is sponsoring us. And we're doing that. If you go onto the APA website or my site in a couple of days, you'll see we'll be there on June 20th in New York live answering questions. And Sarah's going to be working with photographers who are experiencing procrastination, which is honestly almost everybody at one time or another. So that will be in June. And I'll be at B&H giving a talk for folks who are not pros yet but are interested in becoming a pro. How do you become a pro? And I'll be working one-on-one. I'll just have a few appointments available for folks who want to work directly with me, which is always a great thing to do. I love that. I want to also let you know that Clarion Call, thank you so much if you were a part of Clarion Call. It was the most spectacular. We had five world teachers speaking about very wonderful spiritual issues and giving us tools from meditations to affirmations, all of which are practically needed in our business world. In the past, we have taken Clarion Call down after the sale. We had so many people who were not happy with us when we did that last time, we decided to keep the website up. So if you didn't get your Clarion Call package, go over to open2creativity.com and pick that up and take a look at who our teachers were, what they were talking about, and feel free to buy your package because we were asked to keep it up and we listened. I like to listen when people give me good suggestions. And that's why today is happening, because money is an issue for everybody. It is a topic. I don't know if it's an issue. I'm going to correct myself. Money is a topic that comes into our world every single day. And building cash flow is a really important consideration and topic. And Rodney is here because I believe, I heard this so many years ago, it resonated with me at least 30 years ago, you know, the quote, the thinking, the thought, the understanding that we become more successful when we surround ourselves with people who know more than we do about other topics. And that's why I brought Sarah in, and that's why I'm bringing Rodney in, because I want to share people who have knowledge with you, people from within our industry, people from outside our industry, who have knowledge on topics that can be of help to you. So thank you for joining us today on this wonderful, wonderful topic with my friend and peer, Rodney Washington. Let me tell you a little bit about Rodney, and then we'll get right into the program. Rodney has 20-plus years in our industry as a photographer, an artist, an author, a trainer, and an entrepreneur. Rodney helps artists and creative entrepreneurs generate more money with greater freedom and ease. That's his specialty. His clients repeatedly tell him that he has the ability to connect the dots and find income opportunities often hidden in plain sight. And today, Rodney and I are going to go over cash flow creation secrets. So I want to welcome you, Rodney, to the program today. Thank you so much for offering to come on board and give us your time. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you, Selena. It's an honor to be with you today and with this amazing group of people. Wow, I'm listening to all the names as you were calling their names. I was like, wow, that's just a It just sounds cool. I like that. So thank you, everyone, for coming and joining us this afternoon. It's going to be a really enlightening hour plus, I'm sure. And I'm really excited to be with you, and I'm here pumped and ready to give you everything I have to help you, because I feel very strongly about this topic, and I know it's something that can be worked through. So I'm ready to go. Yeah.
Wonderful. You know, we've got people from all over the world. So let's get started. Rodney, why is this an important topic for photographers? Let's just start with that. We all know that cash flow is important, but give us your thoughts on how this affects us in our daily life.
Right. Well, you know, in that gracious introduction you gave, you know, to me, you know, as I was very involved in photography as a photographer for many years, and all of my colleagues were photographers. And what I really learned very early on is in conversations that I was having with my colleagues in general, you know, just in general, was that there was a complete and utter dedication and focus to the creation of the work. There was a clear decision that was made that I am going to be the best at my craft. So a lot of time and energy was put into that, and rightfully so. Those things, you know, had to happen. Obviously, you want to be able to present your best self to the people that you want to work with you. But there seemed to be a disconnect between the creation of the work and the running of the business.
I like that, the creation of the work and the running of the business, a disconnect. I want to hear about that.
Yeah. The conversations would turn to, when I would be speaking with colleagues, for an example, I just want to find an agent to handle this for me. I don't want to deal with this myself. Or there would be this physical either glazing over of the eyes when I would talk about some of the things I was doing in regards to marketing my business and keeping myself out there. But a lot of energy and attention and focus was being placed on the excitement behind the creation of the work, so attending workshops and buying new camera equipment, new lenses, upgrading the laptop, you know, getting the newest, you know, Apple toy. All of that money always seemed to be found seemingly from nowhere to purchase those things. But when conversations would switch to the creation of the business, the marketing of the business, investing in your education in that respect, there was this very clear connect. And so as a result, there would be these deep valleys and high peaks between when income was generated and when it was not. And I clearly began to see that if there was some concentrated attention placed on the running of the business, that you wouldn't experience such deep lows and that there could be more leveling going on. And I felt very important that this was a conversation that needed to be had. I, too, love the craft of photography. I consider myself to be a very good photographer. But I also knew that I did not want to fall into the paradigm of the starving artist.
Mm-hmm.
I knew it was an unconscious choice that I think that many people made, or an assumption that was made, and that there was no other way around it. With that being said, you know, I lived in Los Angeles for many years, and there's a plethora of extremely talented commercial photographers. And I was able to be introduced to some of these people when I was in the beginning stages of researching my career, even before I started focusing on creating art, my imagery. I wanted to learn about the business of being a photographer. And quite honestly, Selena, there was not a lot out there. I could literally go into Borders or Barnes & Noble, and I could find rows and rows of books on Photoshop, and I could find rows of books on all different types of photographic techniques, to 5 books, maybe 6, yeah, on the business of photography, and most of them were outdated with the exception of yours.
Well, that's very kind of you. There's a couple, you know, and you're right, there's a couple of really great books. Susan Carr, bless her soul, wrote a wonderful book before she passed on. John Harrington's got a great book. But none of them really talk, because, you know, and my book doesn't either. None of us have focused our information, because our specialties are in other areas, which is why I brought you here, because you have a focus that's very different. So tell us, what do you think is the important thing to understand that we must embrace when we want to develop a healthy relationship with money? Because as you said, you know, it's my experience as well, photographers, and I'm sure a lot of the people listening, we have Jean-Pierre from Paris and Alex Stark from Virginia, amongst many other photographers on board, hundreds of people on the call right now, are probably nodding their head when you were talking about, you know, buying equipment, which is always fun to do. But it really comes down to our relationship with money, how we see money. I know this is an area that I have worked on my entire life. I've achieved a lot of success in my later years. This is why I love being older. But it's an area that I think all of us need. So share with us, if you would, what's the important thing to, as we begin here, to understand that what do we need to embrace if we really want to develop a healthy relationship with money?
Wonderful. Well, first, Selena, I want to let everyone on the call, which I'm sure predominantly are photographers, I want to let you off the hook a little bit, because it's not just photographers. It's everyone. I work with people in all areas. My core audience in the very beginning of my business was photographers, but it has expanded beyond that. So this is not just a universal thing that only happens amongst the photographers group. So everyone take a collective sigh of relief that it's not just you, that it's not just you doing this. It's pretty much everyone in almost every industry. But as Selena just asked me, the question is, what's the number one skill? The number one thing that everyone must do, especially in this day and age that we live in, is to develop your communication skills. Now, I want to expand your view of what communication skills mean. Yes, there is a form of communication that you are doing when you are communicating or connecting with a potential client. And we will get into that in a moment. But before I really dive into that form of communication, I want to take it back to the communication that every single one of us has, and quite frankly, a lot of times overlook, and it's the communication that we have with ourselves. Mm. At the very core, money by its mere existence is all a direct physical being of communication. We use physical bills, coins, to communicate to someone else that what we wish to sell and what we want to purchase. And so I want to invite everyone, as you're listening to what I'm going to share with you right now, is to look at how you're communicating with just yourself and the money you currently have. For an example, take a look at your wallet. How are you placing your bills in your wallet or your purse? Are your bills laid out in order by denomination? Are they all facing the same way? Are they clear? Are they crumpled and shoved into your bag or into your purse? When you have to pay for something, are you having to dig for the money, or is it right there on the top where you can easily access it? Do you have pockets of change laying all around your house or in your car or in drawers? Or is everything organized and placed in one centralized location? The most important thing that I can share with you right now is money is about organization. It likes organization. It likes order. And it likes speed. When any of those things are out of alignment in just your wallet or in your home or in your purse or what have you, it's very telling about how money is showing up for you from other people. It's something that's so basic and so fundamental, but we don't think about it because we become unconscious about the flow of cash that we have currently. I'll take it a step further. Do you have checks that you haven't cashed, or you wait days to deposit? Do you have invoices that are out that you have either stopped following up to collect payment, or to take that a step further, how do you feel when it becomes time for you to take that next step with a client who owes you money, who has not paid you? What comes up for you when you think about that? Do you become anxious? Do you become frustrated? And what things do you say about money? Is it only there when you desperately need it at the 93rd hour? Or is it always available to you so that when the bill comes in, it's ready for you to pay? And taking that a step further, when it's time to pay the bill, whatever it is, are you doing it begrudgingly or saying it's not enough or it's going to leave me broke once I pay the bill? Or are you paying it from the perspective of I'm grateful that and appreciative that I have the funds to be able to take care of this? Feeling good about the flow of it going out, knowing like you know your name, that it's coming back to you. This sets up an energy shift field inside of you that is extremely powerful, and it's something that, again, we just go about life. Typically, we do the things that we learn from our family dynamic about how money was managed and handled. And as we grow older and become more conscious, and we're living in an age of consciousness, as I'm sure, Selena, you know, you agree, is that we now can make conscious choice about how we physically handle the money that comes to us, how we physically receive the things that come to us. If someone offers us to take us out for lunch or take us out for a cup of coffee, do we argue or sort of fight or banter about who's going to pay the bill, or do we say, yes, thank you, and accept that, knowing that we can pass it on to someone else in the future?
You know, Rodney, you're bringing up so many points here, and one of the things that so much comes to mind, I want to stop for just a second because you've given us so much right there, and I want to share with everyone listening that if you're finding, as you listen to Rodney's words, you're nodding a lot, like or you're finding a little mini aha or big aha moments, wonderful. If you're feeling uncomfortable, if you're feeling, oh gosh, energy, this is too woo-woo for me, this is too spiritual, stretch with us because, you know, really we are living in a time where energy is being recognized and has been recognized by science that we are energy conductors. And so this information is very critical, and I would so love folks who are challenged by this to stretch with us. I find, Rodney, as I'm listening to you, I'm reminded of a few things. I'm reminded of my grandmother who used to iron her dollar bills. I'm reminded of the fact that until recently, I was the girl with the crumpled money in her wallet until about 5 years ago, when I really thought about that. And as conscious as I like to think I am, there's obviously room all the time for us to become more, because it occurred to me at one point that if I wanted to bring in more money, I had to physically respect it. I had to give it space, and I was shocked to see how much respect I didn't have for it. I was always the girl that wasn't comfortable with other people taking me to lunch. Everybody's learning all this stuff now. But I'm putting this out there because I think we all can relate in one way or another. And these are steps that are, you know, becoming conscious of our of what we bring into our life at any level is huge. So this is fabulous information. This is really important, and I don't want people to, I would hope, I mean, you do whatever feels right for you, but I would urge you to stretch with us here. Really good, helpful information, Rodney. So you're saying become conscious. The biggest thing we can do is to become conscious of how what our relationship with money looks like now. Is that correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, you can't, you know, you only can give out what you take in. So based on the things that I've already shared with you, it makes perfect sense that same, however you're handling and managing it, what you currently have, it only makes sense that same energy is going to be taken when you take it outside of your communication, outside of you, to other people. It can't be any other way. I've heard a powerful saying that went, the way we do one thing is the way we do everything. So when you're communicating with other people, do you find that there is miscommunication when it comes to discussing money? Mm-hmm. I'll even take it a step further. When you ask someone for money, when you ask someone to work with you, to pay you for your services, notice how you feel in your body. Do you feel a weightiness, a heaviness? Do you become shy or sheepish? does your voice tone change when it's time to ask for the sale, when it's time to ask someone to work with you? All of these things are physical cues about how you feel about it. Many of us are quite comfortable, or have grown comfortable with being, well, it's just what it is. And I want to challenge you to say, it is what it is, but it's what you created it to be. And because you created it one way, you have the option now to create it a different way if the way that you're currently doing it isn't working. And this is not to say that you should blame yourself or feel bad about what you created. We do things based on what we just feel we know. So this conversation we're having today allows us to open up ourselves to some new ways of thinking, as Selena has shared, some new ways of being, and consciously think about that. The next time you speak with someone and someone offers to pick up the tab for the coffee, do you immediately go, no, I've got it? No, I've got it. And they're going back and forth. Or do you just smile and say thank you and accept it, knowing that you will pass it on to someone else? Flow, which is the construct of this conversation we're having today, means just that. Flow in, flow out. When you look at the ocean, it doesn't flow out, and then when it wants to flow back in, some force on the outside is saying, no, I've got it. You stay back out there.
It doesn't. Yeah, I love that.
You know, it doesn't work like that. Nature has a flow to it. Money is a part of nature. It has a flow to it. Mm-hmm. So become a gracious receiver. If you're having money blockages, look at where you're not receiving.
Mm. I love that. Become a gracious, I'm going to write that on my wall in lipstick, become a gracious receiver. I love that. I also love what you were just saying, very important, very, very important. I wrote this down. When you were talking about creating a new way of being, you said the way you are now is you've created that, you've made choices. And so if, as we're looking, if as everyone listening is looking while that we're on the call, after the call, if you observe yourself and the way that you are with money, if you're recognizing any of these places that don't serve, remember, the wonderful, wonderful piece of information here is that because you've created that, you can create another paradigm. You can go back and make another choice. And that's huge. I think that is incredibly liberating. And a lot of, we may know that. Like, I can see people, yeah, I know that. But you may not be conscious of it. It may not be in your consciousness every day. Now, you know, there's this other piece too, Rodney, about how we work with our customers and how clients, when we work with clients, you know, our relationships with clients. And I'm sure that what you're talking about, because you were just saying how if it's affecting one, if our way of being is affecting one part, it's affecting others. So there's that whole place. I know that you have some ideas on how to discover, how to connect with our clients, how to discover what their needs truly are, which will help us to generate more cash flow. Is that correct? Is that another way
absolutely.
That we can shift ourselves? Would you like to share some information about that as well?
Absolutely, absolutely. So once you've done some work on yourself, a little bit of work on yourself, understanding your communication style with yourself, then obviously the next step is to take that communication to the outside world and communicating with people what you want and what you need. The way to do that, the first way to do that is to find out what they want. And in order to do that, you need to be able to take a perspective of asking, getting into conversations with prospective people who can work, who may work with you is paramount. Because what happens is we will often make, and it's not just photographers, it's many different industries, will make decisions about what we think someone wants.
Assumptions. Yeah, we make assumptions all over the place. Yep.
Yeah, assumptions. We're assuming all the time. We're getting excited about things that we have no clear, honest reference as to if this particular thing or service or product is actually desired by anyone. I find that more often than not in my work with clients is the reason why that happens is because we're afraid to hear no. Or being rejected, or they don't want that, Well, what if they don't? I'll have to go back to the drawing board and create something else. Where I have found my secret sauce, if you will, when I'm working with clients, is that you're more often than not 80% there if you're not getting an exact match. But by taking some steps to ask people what they want directly, and I'm going to share some ways to do that in just a moment, more often than not, I've found you're only like about maybe 5 to 20% off. You have a sense of what people are looking for, obviously, but there just may be one simple little tweak that needs to happen that makes that person look at it and go, yes, I want that. Now, the beautiful thing about the world we live in now, especially now with social media and so many, all these wonderful online tools, is that you no longer have to do an expensive direct mailing and send it out and hope that someone sees it or wants to, you know, or will respond to it, or having to go knocking door to door with people trying to ask them, trying to sell them something door to door. We now have the ability to be able to connect with people who already have done business with us, and having those opportunities to sit down and have coffee with them or take them out to lunch or go on what I like to call informational interviews. And this is a very important point and one I would love everyone to really write that down. Informational interviews or Selena, I think you refer to them as sales calls, but I like to call them informational interviews. What's great about them is that it puts the person that's on the receiving end of the conversation off the spot where they feel like they're going to get sold to. Because you're not there necessarily to close a deal. You're there to ask them what they need. What are they looking for? What's going to make their life easier if they have this? How do they want it delivered? Let them give you more information than you're trying to tell them what you look at my stuff and buy this. You want to take that time to really dive down deep and let, this is really key, and I love this, what I'm getting ready to say to you. Let your clients and prospective clients be a part of the co-creation process of your offering. People love to have ownership in what they're buying. It's become, I quite frankly, nowadays, it's become the number one way that we are now transacting business.
Let me give, may I jump in for a sec? Because
yes,
this is key information. And one way that, and let me know, Rodney, if this is, if what I'm about to share, or what I do share, is what you're talking about. When a photographer, and I don't call them sales visits, we're talking about in-person visits, you know, showing your portfolio to people. And now with the web being there, there's no reason really for people to see the work, so to speak. They can go to the website. Clearly, when people are on in-person visits, the work looks different because it's tangible and 3D. But from a client's perspective, and thinking from a client's perspective now, Rodney and everybody else, people will say, well, I don't really need to see your work. I can go on the web. And people who value photography in a different way might get it. What I suggest clients do, and I think this is what you're talking about, Rodney, is very from the initial message you leave on the phone or in your initial email message to obtain an in-person visit, because we need to meet people. We need to get one-on-one with them, even with all the wonderful social media you're talking about. We still need to see them. The place that you can use Rodney's information is to let people know up front, I'm calling because I'd love to come in and certainly show you my work, but I'm really interested in an understanding where you see value in a relationship with a photographer. All of my clients see it differently, and I'm really keenly interested in what value looks like to you when you're working with a photographer. That is a question I guarantee you, unless people have worked with me, people aren't asking, and that is critical. And when you ask that question, I think, Rodney, this is what we're talking about, right? You're getting to find out what's important to that person. You define yourself as somebody who wants to sell, who wants to service to them, not just sell to them. And somebody once said to me, oh, that's such a great technique, and it's not. It's integral. You should want to know what the value is. So is that the kind of thing you're talking about, Rodney?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'll tell you quite honestly, Selena, where I first heard this, I'm not quite sure if I want to use his name, but I will say there's a celebrity photographer that I attended one of his workshops when I lived in Los Angeles. This man has photographed Oprah. He's photographed pretty much every major celebrity in Hollywood right now, and he's a very conscious man that has extreme talent and extreme conscious about what he's doing. And actually, this was a technique that I learned from him. He says when he first relocated from New York to Los Angeles many years ago, he grabbed all of the magazines that he wanted to shoot for, he wanted to work for, and found out who the editors and the art directors were and invited them to lunch, to have lunch with him. And he took them out to lunch just to talk to them about what they needed, what they were frustrated with, what things were not working for them. And it was really funny that some of the things that he learned had very little to do with the actual work that he was getting, the portfolios he was receiving. It was about the deliverables, things not being sent to him when he needed it, deadlines not being met. It was something that was very different for him, and I'm not trying to, you know, say or set up anything that Los Angeles has a different, you know, the different energy than New York. But there was sort of a little bit of a laissez-faire thing that was going on that wasn't happening, and this guy was like going, I just need someone that can get things in on deadline. And, of course, he had the ability to create the work that the gentleman needed, but because he was able to have those conversations and learn those things that he just quite frankly didn't know, he was able to co-partner with these art directors so that when they needed someone, he was the person that they thought about.
Yeah. It's a risky thing, and most people don't ask people, where's the value for you? And when you do, it really sets you up as somebody who's confident, who's caring. And you may not have the opportunity in today's culture to take somebody to lunch the way this guy did in L.A. because people are busy, but you have the opportunity on an appointment to make that the priority. And so not only do you leave that on the message, but in your appointment, that's the first thing you go for. You've got the portfolio. You ask people how long you have, how long, you know, they can meet with you out of consideration for them. And then you say, you know, I'm here to show you my work, but I'm really also interested, really truly interested in finding out where the value is for you. What does it look like? What do you value in a relationship with a photographer? And if you get people that look at you like you have two heads, that'll be a rare experience, and they're probably not going to be your people. As Rodney's saying, you're going to get people who are going to value you because you're asking the questions about what matters to them. And Rodney, I'm just going to throw in this for just a second here because I think it's really important. Very often when I talk to photographers, Rodney, about putting the value first and asking, you know, asking clients what's important to them, as you're suggesting here, they sometimes feel a little uncomfortable. It's a little disconnect until I remind them, okay, for everybody on the phone right now, just imagine with me that you've got this huge shoot coming up and you've got to hire two new freelance photographers, or two new freelance assistants for this big job that you have. And so you put a call out to people, and you've lined up a whole day of appointments back to back to back to back to back. And the first person comes in, and it's a woman, and she shows you her portfolio from that she's put together from her work and starts talking about all the people that she's worked for. And it looks fine and it's good. And then the next person comes in and it's a guy and he's been an assistant for 6 years and he tells you all about his experience and he shows you his book, which is less than hers because he's been assisting so much. And it goes on and you've seen four people and then you get to the fifth person and that person comes in and they put their book down and they say, you know, Selena, I know that you've got a big job coming up and you're talking to a lot of assistants. I've got my work. I'd love to show it to you. But before we get started, it's really important for me to know, what can I do as an assistant that's going to make you look great? What is it that you need from an assistant that I can deliver for you should you choose me? Now, okay, everybody, who's making the impression on you? The person that just comes in and shows their work like a bad date and talks about themselves? Or the person that comes in and says, listen, Selena, I want to know, what can I do to make you look good? As an assistant, what can I do that will be valuable to you? You're going to hire that person. And every time I ask my clients that question, Rodney, it starts to make sense. So when we put ourselves in the position of the assistant coming to us and saying, what can I do to make you look great? You know right away. You start to relax. There's that feeling, right? Am I right, Rodney? Is that?
Absolutely. And imagine how that will shock that person to even say that because they don't get asked that question.
Never. You will stand out, right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, you know, we've got the understanding here about the healthy relationship with money and some of the things we can do for our customers. But when it comes to collecting money, because you pointed this out before, you said that, you know, that's a place, if it shows up in one place, it's going to show up in another. And I know clients, you know, sometimes when I've worked with photographers and they've hired me to talk about building their business and we look at how their business practices are, that invoices do sit around. So what essential tools can you share with us that we need to have in place to collect the money once it arrives? Because we're going to assume that we're going to change our ways and we're going to start generating this cash flow.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I'm glad you asked the question because this is one that I find, again, that the ball tends to drop. We know we're excited to get the job. We're excited we get to use our gift. We get to use our talent. We get the work and we do it. And, you know, we hope that when we send our invoice that the client will pay it in a reasonable amount of time. In my experience, I have found is that the emphasis on the word hope, the invoice gets paid by a certain time, tends to be the way that the business is managed. Clear contracts are your best friend with dates about when things are due from the minute that you issue your invoicing. Now, obviously, you want to verbalize these things as well, but you have to be able to have some written documentation to protect yourself and to make clear, going back to that word again, communication about what is expected on both party sides. And many times, often than not, those agreements were just made verbally but they weren't written down or they weren't written in a way that was really clear to the person mm-hmm. who received the invoice as to when those payments are due. The next problem I find more often than not is that too much time is allowed to pass between when deadlines are met and when the first contact happens. We don't want to seem pushy. We're probably really grateful to get the job, and so we want to make sure that we want to keep the relationship open. But by allowing too much time to pass between when the deadline was set for the invoice to be paid and the first contact tends to run sometimes for some people as much as 10 days past when the payment is due, mm-hmm. which already sets up the paradigm with the client that they can take their time.
Mm-hmm.
I would say minimum you want to be in contact, first contact with that client on that invoice within 72 hours of that bill not being paid.
Really? I would wait a week. What's with 72 hours? What am I missing?
I think 72 hours. You just want to send a gentle reminder. It doesn't have to be something as hard-heavy or heavy-handed as you didn't pay and I'm coming down, you know, to take your car, if you don't pay me. But I feel within 72 hours is a comfortable amount of time. And I would say 72 hours. I would just say 3 days. Within 3 days, I would send a gentle notice. It's just a gentle reminder. You can word it very softly, very gently. This is just a gentle reminder.
Yep.
That your invoice was due on this day, and I just want to send a gentle reminder to let you know that that I haven't received it.
I like that. I do, because I think, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. That's 3 days for it to arrive. It was supposed to arrive on time. You know, I'm going to ask you something. I had one of the areas when it comes to collecting money that I suggest for clients, and I think I did this at a teleseminar, and I want to see what you think of this, Rodney. Is I think it's important as soon as a job comes in, as soon as you get confirmation on the job, your purchase confirmation form has been accepted, which is the first piece of information, as Rodney was talking about, that you're going to want to, you're going to want to create. I call up accounts payable. I did this as an agent, and it was one of my most successful ways of getting paid. I would call up accounts payable. I would introduce myself. I was the rep, but you can do it as a photographer. And, I would say, hi, it's Selena Maitreya, and I just received an assignment from Bill Jones in your creative department. I'm very excited, and I want to call and introduce myself, and I wanted to find out. I want to make your job easy. I want to make your job easy, and I want to find out what your processes are and how I can do that, and I want to share with you what our processes are here. So help me to understand. If I send several copies of the invoice to you, how many copies do you need so that you can distribute it to your company? And then I ask questions like, well, shall I send a copy to my client at the same time I send one to you? Would you like me to let you know if I, you know, I would ask that question as well. I had people in accounts payable loving me because they would say, oh, my God, make sure. I had one woman say to me, make sure that not only do you send a copy to the art director at the same time you're sending it to me, you, that's really good because if I don't see it come down from them, I'm going to know to go up to them and ask them to sign off on it. I would then say to people, well, you know, we ask for a 50% deposit and then a balance within 30 days. How shall I phrase the 30-day balance based on the way that your company runs? Do you run on a net 30, a net 60? And I would find out, and people would tell me how to language it so it would come in, or they would say to me, doesn't matter, Selena, what you say, we don't pay for 90 days. And then I knew who the slow payers were. By the time the invoice went out, you wait the 72 hours that Rodney was talking about, then I would call up. I'd already have a name. I'd already have a relationship when I wasn't asking for money. And I could say, hey, Betsy, it's Selena over at Al Fisher Studio. How are you? She may not remember me, but I'm going to remind her. We spoke a couple of weeks ago when I just got the assignment from Bill Jones. I sent you an invoice. It hasn't been paid yet. Would you be kind enough to check on it for me? So what do you think about that, Rodney? Does that still work in today's world? Because it used to be very successful, and as I suggested to clients, they seem to do well with it.
You know, I think all those are brilliant, and the key thing that you said that I can't cornerstone enough is that get names.
Mm-hmm.
This goes back to documentation, as we talked about earlier, in the managing of the money. Write down names, because when you call the office or however you choose to make that first level of communication, and I recommend a phone call personally, emails can get lost, things go to fall to spam, that kind of thing. But if you call, even if you just leave a voice message, you have someone's name. People, we will respond faster to situations where there is accountability. So if there's someone's name that you're using in those communications, you tend to get responses a lot quicker.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And another thing I want to really point out too, Selena, now I know in the context of this conversation we're speaking a lot about commercial photographers and commercial accounts. You know, I'm sure there are some callers on here that are doing, you know, direct-to-customer, like, you know, single,
sure,
you know, opportunities. You know, we now have these amazing tools called iPhones and iPads, and they have little devices that we can attach to the top of them called Square
mm-hmm.
and PayPal and Intuit, and we can collect money on the spot. You know, and I think that that's something that we tend to, with some of us who are able to do that, I know this doesn't always work with corporations, it could, but, you know, you want to finesse the relationship with the particular company that you're working with. But be able to collect some kind of a payment or a deposit of some sort as soon as possible, and give people multiple options to pay you. Because, again, we're living in a time right now where people are rearranging money and they're moving things around, and maybe things are in one account, but maybe it's not in another account, or however they wish to handle it. So make it as easy for them to pay you as possible. And because now we live in a digital age where we can collect payment on the spot, if it's an appropriate conversation to have, let them know that you can take a deposit right then and there on the spot. Just pull out your mobile device and swipe a card. Or if it's over the phone, I believe with Square, you can actually take a phone confirmation and punch in their credit card number over your mobile device and accept the payment over the phone. And I can't risk, to me personally, again, I'm not quite sure with commercial photographers exactly if that's an appropriate thing to do with asking for deposits, but I personally think that every business should be asking for some form of deposit.
It is. It's very appropriate. It's just most people don't do it. But it is totally appropriate. It is totally professional. I work with many, many photographers. I'm probably closely right now working with 50 different companies, of which I would say 90% of them successfully get deposits. There are times that people aren't able to get deposits, but you'll never be able to get a deposit if you don't make it a consistent business practice to ask. And it's how we do things. It's how we be as we – I'm reminded, Rodney, it's how we be when we ask for deposits, when we swipe the card. For me, years ago, it was very hard to talk about money. I grew up very poor, and I also started consulting when I was 25 years old, and the people I started consulting with were twice my age. And there was a real less than feeling in me for many years that I really worked very hard on. And so I have direct experience in knowing what it feels like to not be comfortable asking for money. I'm extremely comfortable with it now. Anybody who works with me as a client knows that, you know, what my fees are, and it's something I developed. And I share that because if you are listening in and you know inside of yourself that there's a piece of you, because this is where we started the conversation, it's your comfort level, there's a piece of you that's not comfortable with it. One of the best ways to get over that and to shift that is to practice this, is to look at what one small thing you can do and do it and move forward. And very often, asking for deposits, it's a great place. It's a really great place to practice your relationship with money and shifting this paradigm. But it is a very professional thing. Now, the last thing, Rodney, because can you believe it? We're getting very close to our time here. I want to remind everybody, bring some questions in. Richard already did. And Richard, I'm going to say no to your question. He says, Richard from L.A., who Richard Levy, we're so happy to have you here, Richard. I agree that the spiritual approach is extremely valuable, looking at client relations in an entirely different light. Will we also be talking about methods and approaches used now that are more successful than not to find prospects and close the deal? No, my darling, we won't, Richard, because this particular seminar is not about that. It's about creating the cash flow, moving into the flow of that. But we will revisit that on another time. And Lita is saying, the ocean flow in and out, metaphor for money. I love it. And Mary is saying, amazing advice. Very, very clear. Thank you. So put your questions in now if you have them. David Hartig is saying, Square is not a company to recommend. Tell us, David, what you're finding about Square. Add more information here for us and let us know what's going on there. Randy is saying, some of the small design agencies don't pay the photographer till they get paid from the client. How do you suggest changing that process? May I take this one, Rodney?
Sure.
Okay. I don't know that we can change the process, Randy. I think what we have to do is to look at what your practices are. And if your practice is to take deposits, then you've got a couple of options. I would look at having your letting people know what your practice is. And if they don't agree to that, either choose to work with them or choose not to work with them. If you find that you can carry the cash flow for it, that's fine. If you also want to have your suppliers directly bill to them, your retouchers, your any stylists, any hair and makeup people, and they agree to do that, then that will release you from having to paying people beforehand and having them directly bill. But we're not going to change the process, but we have to be able to know what our business is. So while we're waiting for more people to put in some questions for us, why don't you, Rodney, if you would, share with us, I know you've got some exercises that you recommend that can shift our focus on cash flow and bring in more into our lives. So can we go there for a bit while we're waiting for some
questions?
Absolutely,
I'd love to. And these are really exciting and I personally think are really fun and enlightening. So the first one that I recommend that everyone do immediately, and this ties back into the beginning of our conversation about communication with ourselves and acknowledging the money that we currently have, what's coming in currently. This is a really simple exercise and really fun. I personally use Google Documents, who has there's a program in there for spreadsheets. You might have Microsoft that has Excel, for example. But what I do is really simple. Every single bit of money or service or gift that comes to me, I document what it was, who it came from, and the amount. So if I receive a check, for say $200, I put that in my spreadsheet. If I receive, a payment from an online program or something, through PayPal or something like that, I put that in. If someone takes me out to lunch and they treat me to lunch, I put in that spreadsheet what I would have paid for that lunch had I paid for it with physical cash. If I receive a cup of coffee, I write down what that amount would have been if someone had gifted that to me. had I paid for that. What that does is it allows you to go back and look to see how money is already coming in for you and the amounts that you see. Because I think what happens is when money is really low, the first thing out of our mouth is, well, I don't have any money, or nothing's coming in. And again, this goes back to consciousness. Many times the money comes in, and it goes back out as fast as we received it. There's no breathing time. It never has a chance to settle in our lives, in our wallet, in our bank account. It's already spoken for before it even arrives. So what you want to start doing is documenting what you're taking in that you can physically see in physical form. You can look at it and go, wow, I made $200 here. I made $1,000 here. Wow, you know, I was gifted lunch. I made, this was worth $25, $30. You know, someone treated me to this, and this is how much that would have been. Because receiving comes from all sides, not just physical money. Mm-hmm. And you want to be able to start documenting that so that you can literally see where money is coming in. Now, this isn't necessarily go ahead.
I'm sorry, Rodney. Is this? I want to understand this. Is this so that we have a sense of where the flow is really coming into our lives?
Where
is that
the flow
what I
is coming in from. Exactly. Okay. Exactly. This isn't something that you send to your accountant. This isn't something for your financial team. This is just for you to see where the flow is coming in. You don't have to use a Google spreadsheet. That's my thing. You can use a journal. But you want to start looking at where money is coming in by connecting immediately. This is what I'm receiving, and you've got hard numbers to look at to see what's coming in for you.
All right, sounds
so
good.
So they can shift that conversation from I don't know where the money's coming from, or it's gone as fast as I get it, and there's no connection between what you're receiving and what you're outflowing.
Got it.
Which moves to the second exercise. Start practicing giving something away. Now, it doesn't have to always be money. I believe personally in a form of tithing. It doesn't have to be physical money. It can be time, talent, or money. So get into the practice of outflowing. You have to outflow in order for it to flow back into you. And you want to feel good about it. You don't want to do it begrudgingly. You want to do it consciously, and you want to do it with a good feeling, knowing. This, to me, is the fastest way to build trust with money. I can
and
flow
you know,
this
Rodney,
out
that,
and know it's coming
sorry.
Back in. Mm-hmm.
You go finish that thought. I didn't mean to interrupt. Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you want to really start to feel that energy. Again, I understand for some, literal cash flow may be an issue. So tithing, again, the concept of tithing is that it can be time, talent, or financial resources. So if cash flow itself is an issue, where can you donate a percentage of your time or your talent? It has to be something, again, the very key thing is you must feel good about it. It cannot come from a space of obligation, because then that attaches negative feelings to the flow of money. So it has to feel good to you. I'll just share this real quickly because I know you have a point you want to ask me. I recently paid commissions for a program that I just launched. That felt so good to me to know that I was able to flow that money to people who supported what I was doing. That was the best feeling that I've had, quite frankly, in quite a while with the flow of money. It's a wonderful feeling to have. So always ask yourself, how can I outflow if you want to bring more back in?
I just wanted everybody to know that I just put an extra 15 minutes of time on our clock here because we're coming up to our hour, so stay with us. I write thank you on all my checks. I don't pay my bills online. I specifically write checks so that I can write thank you because that, for me, is an important thing to do. And I'm not only thanking the person who's provided the service for me, even if it's a corporation like the electric company, I'm thanking the universe for giving me the money to be able to write the check. Those are important steps. So I think that's great. Tithing is, I love it. And I just wanted to jump in also because we have people from all over the world. We have John from Paris, and we have Bin Shihab from Bahrain. And Bin Shihab has said that I agree what you and Rodney are talking about, what I call a system approach, but it's different here with the cultural difference when it comes to paying for services. And cultural differences will definitely pop up. One of the wonderful pieces about this information that Rodney's sharing is what he was just saying is not cultural. When it comes to tithing, when it comes to becoming conscious and becoming aware, that transcends all cultures. So, yes, you will definitely find places if you're listening from other countries where you will have to make shifts in what we're talking about that will be more reflective, if you will, of your culture. But also, don't just assume if your culture is different that the way that it is needs to stay that way. Look at how you might be able to bring in a different point of view. Rodney, did you want to go to our third exercise? And then I know you have something really special to share with everybody.
Yes, thank you so much. Well, actually, the third one ties into the second one. It's, again, about outflowing. It's about giving, you know, percentage of something. It can be cash flow or time or talent. The other one, again, is about consciously being – actually look for opportunities where you can receive. Again, we get opportunities to receive all the time, and not just money. If someone says something to you, like they gave you a compliment on something that you're wearing, or they like the bag that you're carrying, or they said something to you that just made you feel good, they made you smile, they made you laugh, however, you know, acknowledge that, because that is a form of compensation. You're being acknowledged for being who you are. And accept it, thank you. And you don't have to necessarily feel the obligation to have to give it back. It's about receiving. And then you pass it on to someone else. You know, there was a little movement that was going around a while back, and I don't remember what it was exactly called, but I saw it on Facebook, where people would go to coffee shops and they would buy coffee for themselves, they would buy coffee for someone else to be used at another time. Or the person behind them.
Mm-hmm. Or somebody who was homeless and didn't have any coffee or food. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right. And I thought that was a really great practice because what it does is it lets you know to doing that, giving a percentage of yourself, your time, your talent, your money to other people, it tells you on a subconscious level that you have more, you have everything you need, and you have so much more you're able to give back. And it shifts your energy from this thing about I've got to hold on to everything I've got because I don't know where the next is going to come from.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying, I have everything I need and I have so much that I'm willing to give to someone else. It can be as simple as a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
But I can promise everyone listening as clear as I know my name that if you practice this, it flows back to you. I promise you. It does.
Yes, it's an amazing feeling. Putting that out there. You know, and we're kind of experiencing that, believe it or not, on this call because we're all putting out to each other here on the call. People are sharing quite a lot. Over at the Q&A, for example, I'd like to take a moment before you share with us your gift, Rodney, that you've got for us. Two comments that came through, one from Richard again. Thank you, Richard, in Los Angeles. These are comments and ideas about the topic we were talking about before, about asking for deposits and what can you do. And Richard, thank you, Richard. Richard says, I put into the contract that payment to the photographer is not conditional to payment by client from their client. So Richard writes right into his contract, payment to photographer is not conditional to payment by client from their client, and he says he's never had a problem with that since. Thank you, Richard. And Christina, thank you, from New Zealand, who's with us today. Thank you, Christina. She's an agent. She says, hi there. As an agent, I used to explain to clients that they'd have to pay an additional 10% overall if they aren't able to pay a deposit. This often swayed them, and if not, I received a little extra. So it's you when you give people two options, it's like two-year-olds. Do you want to eat your apple or do you want to eat your pear? It's not do you want to eat your apple or not eat your apple. And they'll go for one or the other, and clients are like that too. Do you want to pay your 50% deposit now or do you want to pay 10% more later? Excellent, Christina. I thank you so much. So we're getting people who are just contributing a whole bunch here. And Rodney, you've been just tremendous today, a lot of good ideas and suggestions for us, and helping us to really remember that consciousness and the way that we be in what we do is huge. So what else would you like to share with us here, my dear?
Well, you know, Selena, again, thank you so much for bringing, you know, inviting me to present to your audience today. I'm really honored. Again, I have a kinship to photographers. I always have and probably always will. When you and I were sitting down talking about this conversation, and I said, you know, I personally feel so powerful about this because I know that cash flow does not have to be a prevailing issue in your life. It can be fixed. There are simple things that you can do every single day to get yourself to a place where there's consistent flow. As I said, I used the metaphor earlier about the ocean. The ocean doesn't flow out and then stop and say, wait, I don't need you right now. Come back and flow back in later. It just happens. And truly, honestly, I believe in my heart that that's the way money can work in our lives, every single one of us. So as you and I were speaking, Selena, I really want to do something to support this community that you've created even further and continue this conversation in a way that will allow you to create that consistent flow in your life. And what I've done here is I've created a wonderful program where you will get an opportunity to work with me for 4 weeks. And we will actually continue that conversation, and I will actually teach you how to create that consistency in your life, that consistent flow. It's a program that I'm very proud to introduce, and you're the first people that I'm introducing this program to formally. If you'd like to visit the website cashflowcreationsecrets.com, you can see there's a page I developed there for you, where I actually go through the four things that you must know now to move into flow, and I really go in much deeper with every single topic that we started in this conversation today. It's an opportunity for you to learn about how to adopt a cash flow creation mindset, which is very key. I know for some it may sound woo-woo, but I can promise you this is something that you really want to get clear first, because your communication with yourself, as I said earlier, how you do one thing is how you do everything. If your communication with yourself is not really strong and clear, it can't help but to carry over to your communication with the outside world. And then I move right into connecting with your buyers. I know that connecting with prospective buyers is an area that a lot of us struggle with, but I have a really fun system in order to be able to do that. Connect with your audience. Find the audience that's right for you and move to that place of having that confidence in your voice and your conversations with them that people say, yes, I know that you're here to support me. As Selena mentioned earlier, you know, what can I do to help you, the person that you're talking to? That's something that people just don't hear. We hear what we want, but not what they want, what they need. So I really want to support you and help you create authentic conversations that actually allow you to co-partner with people that you want to work with and actually attract more business into your company. The next thing is growing your list of buyers. We all need to be able to have a list of people that we can reach out to, and it grows over time, that we can reach out to in order to find out what they need so that we can create new opportunities for ourselves, new jobs for ourselves. Again, this is really something that I can't underscore, and it's just too important to pass up. You have to understand how to connect with people in real, authentic ways and grow a list of people organically that really know. They get you by name. They hear you. They embrace your phone calls. They embrace your emails. They embrace your mailing, and they want to work with you and find out more about you and what you have.
Rodney, I'm going to ask you to stop for a second because Susan has just emailed us in from Issaquah, and she wants to know that website again, please, so she can follow along. Thank you.
Absolutely. It's cashflowcreationsecrets.com, all one word.
Cashflowcreationsecrets.com. Thanks, Rodney.
Yes. Yep. Oh, absolutely. No problem. No problem. And I also would love to I'm even going to be sharing with you and how to actually use live events and social media and your personal Rolodex to get connected to your ideal cluster, your ideal client. There's some really fun, creative things that you can do with social media now, and you all have amazing work that you can use as a part of your tool to do that. So there's some really fun things that you can do with that, and I really want to share that with you because, again, it's something that I know, you know, we are using social media. We can't ignore it anymore. It's what we're using now as a form of communication. It is not your only tool of marketing, but I believe that there now needs to be that balance between offline, meaning face-to-face conversation, connection, touching hands-to-hand, and online. So, and we really speak about the balance between those two things so that you'll be able to actually have people recognize you in social media that you've connected with online and go, wow, I see what he's doing, I see what she's creating. You know, we should bring her in to talk to us about, you know, our next project that we're working on. So this is a wonderful way to do that, and we'll speak about that. And then, of course, the all-important question is about preparing for cash flow. You know, again, a conversation was brought up earlier about using Square. Square isn't the only mobile media to collect, money from clients. I mean, there's Intuit. There's now PayPal. PayPal now has card readers now. There's many ways, and we can explore many of those different options. The core I wanted to get across with that was understanding that you need to have multiple ways to be able to have people pay you. And mobile payment processing now is a part of our society now. We are using it. Will it be applicable to all of you? Maybe not. But it is something that you can't afford to ignore, in my opinion, because it is something that we are using. So we do want to understand that. But beyond, I even go further beyond just payment processing. I also want to talk about the psychology of pricing, because pricing is really important as well. How we price our work says a lot to the prospective client about our value. And we underscore that a little bit. So I really want to talk about that. We want to talk about pricing, how we price our work, billing and collecting. But the key piece of this I'm so excited to share with you, is that I actually do some role-playing conversations. So when you're in negotiations or you're talking to a prospective client about working with you and you stumble over your words a little bit or your voice tone changes or you start to feel uncomfortable, we actually do some role-playing work together so that I can pinpoint those areas where I notice things that you could be doing. And just to make it a part of your consciousness so that when you're out there in the world talking to people, you now have something to reference. You can go, oh, wow, I noticed that, you know, I don't make eye contact when I'm speaking to someone about the money, or my voice drops or changes, or maybe I speak up, or, you know, I'm not really holding my same level of confidence as I did when I was showing my portfolio. So I find this is a really important piece and something that I really enjoy working with people on, you know. And I'm also providing you with all of the scripts and the templates that I use with my clients on how to actually do this. Mm-hmm. And then I move right into what I feel every person on this call should have is what I call a portfolio of income streams. Again, I understand the audience, all of you here with Selena, you all the commercial photographers. But I am finding that many photographers now are developing other ways to generate income besides the finished client job,
yep.
The client work.
Absolutely.
So I really want to dive into that. That's something I'm very excited about, being able to offer everything from courses to e-books to mentoring programs to mentor other photographers. You know, these are opportunities that I'm seeing every single day other people doing to create other income sources for themselves. So in this economy now, I feel it's paramount that every single one of us has at least 2 to 3, maybe even 4 ways to take our core gift, our core talent, and how can you multiply that in multiple ways so you have money coming in every single day from some direction. Something that I'll share really quickly here, and I think I spoke with Selena about this, the most beautiful sound in the world to me is the sound of sitting in a coffee shop and hearing my phone give me an alert that I just received money through PayPal. I think that's like the prettiest sound in the world, because that's the work I did a while back, and it's still bringing in revenue for me even months or even years after I created it. And so in this module, I will go into the 10 income streams for creative entrepreneurs and which ones are most applicable to you particularly. This is going to be a nice, comfortable group where I'll be able to give a lot of hand-holding and a lot of, you know, one-on-one time with, but we'll be in a collective group experience. And these calls will be delivered over 5 weeks, the 5th week being the bonus module on your income portfolio.
And you have a wonderful – you've worked out a very special – fee for this group that I am very grateful to you, because I know this is brand new, and we wanted you to have more than just today. You know, today is a great start, but we need more than just today. We're having people writing and saying, thank you so much for this, Rodney. This was so great. You're very, very welcome. There wasn't a name on that, but it was from New York. It's so important, and I the idea of living in a time when we can have multiple ways to bring in income is really, it's a new concept, and I see many, many photographers doing it. And it doesn't mean you're going to be a short order cook at McDonald's one place and then be a photographer. It means Rodney's going to work with you to help you figure out and determine what are other ways that you can do this. So brilliant, Rodney. I'm very appreciative that you've put this together for us.
Oh, it's my honor. It's my honor. I love this community so much, and it's something that, like I said, I know the world in which you live, so I understand exactly where you're coming from. And, again, it's my honor to support you because I see it every single day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I put together this program, you know, Selena and I discussed the price point for it, and we had discussed $297 as the cost for the program. I decided to, as my gift back to Selena, my flow, I wanted to make it available for $197. So that is available for one payment of $197. It's my gift to Selena, back to you, and to support all of you, my fellow creatives. And it's something that I'm over the moon about offering this because I've wanted to do it for years. And now I'm having the opportunity to work with my – I feel like I'm back home, quite frankly, with my core people. So I'm really excited to do this and work with you all collectively.
And so tell everybody how – we have a few minutes left – how they can take this wonderful offer and run with it, because it's 5 weeks with you, recordings, all of the recordings from it, all of the forms that you're going to send them that have the – scripts of the information you use, and how can people access this?
Absolutely. So it'll be the same format that we're using now. It'll be by telephone. We'll be using Instant Teleseminar. So it'll be, you can listen on live webcast as you're doing now over the phone. There will be open Q&A questions, so you will get a chance to speak with me directly. If you are not able to make some of the calls, I will. You can email your questions to me. I will give you access to my private email address, and I will address them on the calls. And you will see the MP3s and all of the material, which includes scripts, my worksheets and templates that I use. And that will be available to you within pretty much the next day after each session. You will see that immediately.
So we go over now to give us the website again where they can register. I'm having people writing, and Ira, you're most welcome from Washington. This is the best program you've ever done since Show Me the Money. Many thanks to you and to Rodney. Eye-opening. Mary is saying thank you very much for all the good advice and information. Susan is saying thank you so much. We've got Pierre over here from London saying just tremendous information. So, Rodney, give us that website again so we can get everybody running over there, because I know, do you have a limit on seats or do you not have a limit on seats? How is that working? And could we have that website? Because we're going to have to say goodbye in just a few moments.
Okay. The website is cashflowcreationsecrets.com, and that I am working with a small group, so I want to keep it. I mean, I'm open to at least 25 to 30 people in this program.
And is there a timeline? A timeline for the special offer?
Yes, and so there is a special offer. Recently, I did a masterclass program called Monetize Your Gifts Life's Masterclass, which Selena was one of my guest presenters. And I am gifting that program in its entirety to every person who decides to join us. You will be receiving all 15 of the replays, all of the summary sheets, and all of the bonuses that came with that program.
Wait a minute, Rodney, that's 15 hours. Is that what you're talking about? You're giving the whole program? Wow.
You're giving the whole program. Every
15 hours of people. Fabulous.
It's an amazing program. I am proud of every single person that was on that program, including Selena. And I want to, that again, I'm about flowing back out. So this is my gift back to your community. And I'm only offering this to Selena's community.
Wonderful. Well, thank you. Nick Carter saying from the UK, thank you, Rodney. And from Manama, we have Bin Shahab saying thank you for everything. God bless. And so, Rodney, we are at the end of our time. I want to thank absolutely everybody who's been here today. You've helped me to with all of your questions and comments. And, Rodney, thank you. You know, really, we're all about, all of us, building businesses that will thrive. There is no reason for us to have anything less than that. You know, we can be absolutely everything that we are, and it's about becoming conscious and knowing how we be and how we can work together with our clients to work in unity, not in competition, but in cooperation. And Rodney, you've helped us so much today. I hope I'm going to encourage everybody here to run over and check out Rodney's page. Rodney, the website, one more time for us, my dear.
People are asking. Cashflowcreationsecrets.com. And the class starts next Tuesday, May the 21st at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And the deadline on the bonuses, I want to mention that really quickly. I'll only be offering the bonus of the masterclass program until Saturday, May the 17th at midnight, and then that will go away. So if you do want to take advantage of this, I suggest you join us right away so I can give you that. And you will get immediate access to the masterclass program when you sign up, and then we will start class for the cash creation program on Tuesday, May the 21st at 5 p.m.
That is wonderful. Thank you for that, fabulous. I didn't not realize you were adding that extra gift. That is wonderful. I know I was a part of that program for sure, but I listened to many of the other teachers who had tremendous information. It's 15 hours of information. So this is a huge gift. I'm hopping over to the Q&A as we leave. And Deborah Prince, thank you, Deborah, which is wonderful. She's calling us from Cotati. She says, great presentation. I organized my wallet and my desktop as you were talking. And Kim is saying, thank you, Rodney and Selena, for giving us wonderful information. And Mary has said terrific information right on from Toronto. So thank you, everybody. Thank you, Rodney. Very extra special thank you to you for sharing your information with us. And you know what? A special thank you, because you and I have known each other, and we talked years ago about being able to share information as teachers, and I'm so excited. You know, we made it happen after all these years, and
yes.
And it was timing is everything. And I think everybody, thank you. So thank you, everybody, for being here. Check me out in New York. Look at the website, selenamaitreya.com. Melanie will be uploading my lectures for June, just in a couple of days. Rodney, we bless you and thank you and send you on your way, my dear. Everybody, have a great night. Thank you so much. We'll all be talking soon. Good night, everybody.
Thank you all.
Good night, Rodney.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, dear.